The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Tired of not knowing the future? Today's episode of SupDoc is sponsored by the Spice Melange, cultivated from the excretions of the mighty Arrakis sandworm. Pow! I just folded space and time, man. The spice mass is treated with an artisanal process that makes it melange. Harvesters risk death to get you the product, which means fair trade prices, and we get a little kickback on the back end. Melange! Pow! I just folded space in my pants. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen. And you're listening to SupDoc, our podcast where we talk to interesting people about their favorite documentaries.
On today's show, we discuss the 2013 documentary Jodorowsky's Dune by Frank Povich.
This is a story about a visionary artist who almost got to make his ideal film. But of course, if it went smoothly, there wouldn't be a documentary about it.
No. Hey, do you want to hit this melange?
I think I'm good. I think I can already see it through time and space.
Our guest today is comedian Michael DeBay.
Hey, how
welcome,
you doing?
Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Yeah. Firm handshake.
Very firm handshake.
Over in the corner.
Yep. Zamaria's hanging out. So I saw you in L.A.
You did.
And you had...
Which time?
Well, we were outside of the Cantor's.
Okay.
Deli.
All right.
Deli.
Cantor's, yeah.
And I loved your T-shirt that you were wearing.
Oh, yeah.
And it said,
I came from last weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And it had Jodorowsky on
yes,
it. And
it
I was
did.
Like, oh, that's cool. Are you a fan? And you're like, am I a fan?
I'm a disciple. I'm an acolyte. I am a follower of Jodorowsky.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in his 82 precepts. He has a list of commandments. They're not really commandments. They just like creative like precepts of sorts. There's like 82 of them.
Whoa.
Jesus had put me onto him.
Okay. It's like, what are...
That's Andrew Holmgren. I mean, he was looking at me real crazy like, yo, wait a minute.
I haven't heard that. I didn't put that together. Yeah, Jesus head. I get it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like white Jesus head on like everybody's wall. And
is
shit.
He is he a follower too?
Mm-hmm. I converted him. I converted
uh-huh.
him.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Like, I've been making everybody watch that documentary that'll sit down long enough to get high with me.
Uh-huh.
I've been making them like sit down and watch that. Mm-hmm. Especially if like... If we hang out a lot to where I feel like we should be communicating non-verbally, yeah, you need to see Joe Rouse's Dune. I don't want to have
non-verbals,
to. Yeah, I don't want to have to explain high art to you in the middle of like creating this
now,
shit.
Is it kind of like Dogma 95, like the 82 precepts? Did he publish this as a list of like? Practice?
I don't know if he put. It's online. It's uh-huh. online somewhere, and it's like you know, it's just basically you know. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself as a creative
yeah.
and do what you got to do, you know, create and stuff. Don't let bullshit get in the way.
He seems like that kind of guy. He's
oh, very much so.
I had never seen this documentary until today. I watched it this morning.
Oh,
and I've
shit,
never, I'd never seen it before, and I was thoroughly entertained by
what
it.
What is to give light must endure burning.
That is right. Yeah, oh. yeah. That is right. And I like, he's just a classic artist type. I mean, he's just classic. The guy, especially when he was like, he's like, film is art, and art has heart. Boom, boom, boom. 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 It has a mind, a universe, and it has like, and he's like, it's got power, and he like grabs his crotch. It was great.
And you, but you
he
had
pulls
seen,
out his money, and he's like, this yeah, has no heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a paper.
Sheet.
Yeah,
sheet.
He's like, there's nothing in this. There's nothing in this. Yeah, I love it.
But you had seen Lynch's Dune.
Oh my God, I went yeah. there in high school. I saw it live and in person, and
see,
I
we thought Lynch's Dune was like
was
the
it?
End all be
yeah.
all.
It was
to
pretty
yeah.
amazing.
It was pretty amazing because yeah. it had to be at least mm-hmm. like cool or good because
yeah.
what was to be made was so great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like the foundation was like set. It had to be a good looking building.
Yeah.
No matter if like, you know, what's the guy that designs all the houses? I don't know his name.
Oh, Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yes, yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright.
Or yeah. Bucky.
Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah.
Bucky
one of
Sinister.
Those guys design the plans, even if I put it together, it's still going to look cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was, he's just, I love eccentric artist types, and he certainly fits that bill.
Yeah, man. I in the complete sense, I get a feeling whether that guy is painting, writing a poem,
right.
or shooting a film. He is putting his complete self into it, and I dig that.
Now, I didn't know that there was a recent film. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the most recent film he put out?
Oh, man, it's called Mirror Realities. There's another name for it, because, of course, it's not in English.
It's La Danza de la Realidad.
See? So, he knows the actual name. I know the name. It is translated loosely, I do believe. But it's basically the story of him. Mm. It is basically he's telling a story. And so inside out, the way he tells a story, fuck nonlinear. He's telling a story like how I view time and space to be, actually. Not a straight line, but like a duck's dick. Have you ever seen a duck's dick?
It's curved.
No. It's curved with spikes and spirals and shit.
It's usually behind me, so I don't get a chance to look at it.
You got
to
quit dressing up like them Daffy Duck and shit. less rapes will happen. You know ducks? Are one of the most rapiest animals
that.
Ever.
I did know that. I did know that about ducks.
Ducks and dolphins, isn't that cute?
Oh, yeah.
With a corkscrew dick. It's because there is a corkscrew vagina. That's the part that you have to think about. That nature created this lock and key system.
George just got the biggest
time
smile.
And space. That's how time and space looks.
I thought about a corkscrew vagina. Yeah. See, like, that is like the spice, right? That's how you compress time. That's how you time trout.
Yeah, that's how
time and space has to fold together.
That's why he was able to, like, create. A shot that shotless he has that everybody still continually uses. Right. That's how he was able to create that.
It's like the powers of 10 thing, right? It's like that kind of like you micro in from like from the galaxy to the universe to the solar system, to the planet to
that's
the
him.
City.
That's all him.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, yo, I really dig it.
Yeah.
I really dig it.
And you do some film, you've done a lot of film stuff.
Yes, I have.
I've been
making, I'm a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. I ended up at that job being a set designer at kink.com, but...
Oh, at Kink. Mm. You're designing...
What if Jodorowsky did porn, guys?
Whoa. Well,
He kind of did.
He still did. I can't wait for you to see the Fondo... Yeah. Not the Fondo Leaves, but the new one. I can't wait for you to see the new one, but because it has some very pornographic
moments. Anybody takes
in
a golden shit, that's basically porn, I'd say.
He got one scene in a new film where the wife just cops a squat and pisses all over the husband because he's like, he's going through something or something's on him, and to get him clean, she got to pee on him. And I was just like, but of course.
Like my day job.
He ran into some stingrays or something. I know what happened.
Jellyfish attack.
Did you ever read Frank Herbert's book?
No,
Dune?
As far as I'm concerned, Dune is what Jodorowsky says it is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Nice.
Because that's one of the lines from what's it called? It's like, it's Foster, the guy that designed the spaceships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did all the dope spaceships and whatnot. He was just like, I ain't never read Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm not going to. It's whatever this guy over here with this expansive dream said it was.
Yeah.
And I take it for that. So like, yo, honestly, like I'm starting to forget David Lynch's Dune. I honestly, it's starting to be erased. It's being overlapped.
Yeah.
You know, like when you like hear the original of a sampled song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the
backwards?
Fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, this is why I like this fucking. This is why I like Juicy by Biggie so much, because of motherfucking M2ME. If wasn't no M2ME, I wouldn't give a shit about Biggie and this fucking semi-classic song.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I thought I was pretty well prepared for him. I thought I had a very clear image of him as this very erudite lunatic. And I was greeted at the door by this charming continental gentleman, clean-shaven with styled hair. He goes back and he gets out of his suitcase, comes out with this little piece of folded-up newspaper, and he says, "This is special marijuana." I said, "Oh boy." All I remember is I was getting incredibly relaxed and that I was looking straight into his eyes when all of a sudden, at the conclusion of a sentence, he said, "Like this," and wham, out from his face shot these radiating lines of pattern, and the hallucinogenic visual effect and the mental effect dispersed immediately, just bink. And I was completely dazzled. I was dazed at the experience. Now sell everything you own and come to Paris and prepare to have your life changed.
Put like this, Jodorowsky's Dune, that Dune is the Tupac of fucking movies.
Okay.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's still coming out.
It's like it's still
later.
Coming out a few years later. Everybody's wearing bandanas and fucking got bald heads. It's like, yo, you're just gonna, you're gonna keep seeing like everything everywhere.
Right. Well, like, a concrete example is like Giger, he brought in Giger to do some designs for Harkonnens, and that's kind of like the same designs that ended up in Alien, right? That's
that is
like,
the exact team. Peter O'Bannon was the producer. His whole team, O'Bannon. Dan O'Bannon. Well, I call him Peter because of. What's McCall? I call him Peter. I always fuck up people's first name.
It's like my mom.
I know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I just have it in front of me. That's all. Yeah. But that's
that whole
example.
Team. And I imagine like everybody that worked on that was just like, well, fuck it.
This guy.
I'm not gonna let my ideas go to shit. Right. I know that's how I am as a writer. There's some ideas that like some people didn't use over here that I was just like, well, shit.
Yeah. I already did the work, and it never got used, so...
I'm keeping it.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of examples they showed, like the sword fight between Darth Vader and Luke, you know, was
all
in there.
All the sword fighting, all of the costuming.
Yeah.
Every aspect of his film was, like, storyboarded and plotted out. He basically made his film in book form.
Right.
And where he fucked up is... He took it in with him and he gave them one.
Yeah.
He didn't show them examples. He was so confident in his craft that he gave it to them.
Yeah.
He gave them the keys to the fucking universe for the next 20 fucking years.
Right.
Without hesitation on the strength of, no, you can't do it like me. Yeah, so I'm not worried about you.
Yeah. Right.
And you still haven't. That's why it's all spread out. Like there's no... consistently just elaborate science fiction film as expansive as that was supposed to be.
Just watched the new Star Wars, there are certain scenes like sort of like some of the beginning scenes with the character. I'm like, this feels like I could see the storyboard being in this kind of lineage too, like when there was stuff like when she's mining through like that old starship for junk parts. I'm like, this feels like a 70s like cartoon kind of sci-fi Mobius, like
I saw Star Wars the other day too, and
couple scenes like that are great, and it's creating a new vision based on that world, and then it kind of just veers back
it
into
goes
the
all
tried
back.
And true.
I get it. They're trying to like the nostalgia.
What'd you think of the new Star Wars?
Disney's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So of course it's gonna be like extra cheese.
Mm-hmm. John Boyega is like way more comedy than I thought.
I'll tell you exactly who John Boyega is. John Boyega is Jar Jar Binks minus CGI.
Oh shit.
If you think it's a game, go watch again and just picture his ears him and whatchamacallit, because that's exactly
that's
what it
depressing
is.
As fuck.
The sound you just heard is George's mind blowing.
Oh. Like, yo, that is the fucking truth.
Because if you saw Attack the Block and then you saw that, then you'd be like, why they didn't use him the way he's the fucking man in Attack the Block.
Exactly.
And they just like let him. But it also was like a little bit of like this Mad Max thing happening where people were just like, wait, why is this a story about a woman again?
Because everything has a very feministic underlying. It's the same way a couple of years ago everything was like, you know, man, gay guys can be in charge. So yeah, it's a meeting that's had.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Harkonnens are proof that gay guys can be in charge.
Oh, yeah. That's you true. Know, you gotta give Baron Harkonnen. Yeah. He's a floating fairy. He's a big, disgusting floating fairy.
Who would have been Orson Welles, right?
Who would have been Orson Welles.
Who could not float, by the way. No. Would not have been
no.
able to float.
Matter of fact, he would not even... Orson Welles wasn't even going to do the movie until they was like, no.
You can
we'll
eat.
We'll slop you every day.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Most... Dude, it's all about craft services.
There's a podcast. Always. The Organist just did this podcast where they interviewed Orson Welles, like, assistant in the 70s.
Whoa.
It's pretty amazing. And he's like 350 pounds at that point. Yeah. And they basically had to have a special car that had like a hydraulic seat to go up and down to get him in and out of it.
Whoa.
It's pretty intense. You should definitely hear that.
But man, when you're like an awesome, when you're awesome, well, yeah. man, why?
Who cares?
Give a shit.
Yeah.
I didn't fuck, then done. I didn't live the life. Yeah. Whatever. I'm going to eat myself to death and you can't stop me.
No.
Or I'll eat you.
Yeah. Well, Yodorovsky talks about.
Perfect Baron von Bangkorn.
How he promised Orson Welles that he would be near his favorite restaurant.
No, he would not near. He would eat as if from that restaurant. He'd hire that chef, eat anything he want, and buy the wine.
Yeah.
At a place that I'm sure, if Orson Welles is eating there, I don't know what time. I know it was what, the 70s?
Yeah, it's like, what, 75?
75, yeah.
Yo, it wasn't cheap for 75.
No. Yeah, no.
And it's not cheap. Like, it's not cheap already because you got you got Orson Welles and then you got Dolly trying to go hard in the paint and make, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. He wants $100,000
make
a
history.
Minute.
Yeah.
What was character was Dolly going to be?
The Mad Emperor.
The Mad Emperor, yeah.
The Mad Emperor.
Yeah. Okay. He has the clock story. So he meets, Yodorovsky meets Dolly at St. Regis, I think.
No, they meet before they get to the St. Regis bar. That's where he had a meeting at. They met somewhere at a dinner party. It was either before or after the St. Regis joint, but they were at a dinner party, and he asked him in front of a bunch of people about, you know, about finding clocks in the sand. When he was at a beach, did him. He asked him, did him, and he said him and Picasso or some ill-ass shit.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Picasso. Used to find a lot of lost clocks.
Yeah.
How about you? And he was at the beach. Like, yo, do your balls shrivel up just him and shit?
And what was, you remember Yodorovsky's
and he was
reply?
Like, yo, if he was like, yo, if I say something slick, like, I find
clocks. Yeah.
You vain, ain't nobody, you ain't found no fucking watch. Yeah. You're just a jackass trying to impress whoever's at the table. But he was like, I gotta be slick. And he was like, no, I never find a clock, but I lost a lot.
Yeah.
And he went, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I did lose a lot of time fucking around in the sand. Ooh.
And so
he was like,
that.
I gotta fuck with him. He was like, yo, you know how it is. It's the same way with comics.
Yeah.
If he's not really funny and he don't say nothing to make you laugh, you're not gonna fuck with him.
Yeah.
It's the same way. He was like, yo, if he's an artist, if he's this, he better come with it.
Yeah. And Dolly signed on from that, right?
Oh, yeah. Dolly signed on from that and then meeting at the St. Regis, that big ass painting of the Far Joke, which I think it should be a back tattoo. That should be a fucking back tattoo. It's one of the greatest paintings I've ever seen. Because, like, you always hear about how kings and their subjects interact and how, like, whatever the king did or whatever happened, the king had to happen to one of them subjects. Like, if he fell off a horse.
Mm.
So, like, yo, the king could just do whatever the fuck he just... So, it's a picture at this ball of his king, and everybody in the picture is just... their face turn and just make an ugly face, and the king is just sitting there smiling at his ass off. Because he fought it.
Yeah.
And shit you could do about it. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. No. Don't hide. Don't cover yourself up.
Yeah.
That's a royal flatulence.
That's the good flatulence.
You better even inhale it. That's a blessing.
And that was going to be Dolly. I mean, basically, right? I mean, he was going to be...
Yeah, basically. Yeah. He was going to be, But Dolly was just, you know, Dolly, you know. So he was had to be extreme and shit.
What's some other casting that they had? Originally, like
Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Fayed Rautha.
Mick Jagger, he said he found him across the crowd. Like, you know, they fell in love from across the room and shit. And he was like, yeah, I got to do it. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Mick Jagger was like, he was on before Jodorowsky asked him.
Oh, really?
Somebody probably had got in his ear from what it sound like.
Yeah.
It was like he's asking all these really dope people to be a part of it.
Right.
Mick Jagger not want to be in the
And that is the perfect analog, right? It's like it could have been Mick Jagger, but it was Sting.
That's pretty much
what the movie is.
Yeah.
That's like what you did.
That's a perfect metaphor, character metaphor for the entire film. Yeah. Mick, no, just Sting.
No, just Sting.
A stinger.
A do, a da.
Jag.
Yeah. And but my favorite, they got fucking Kung Fu.
Oh, David Carradine.
Yeah.
What? Who was gonna be? Who was gonna be who?
David Carradine was gonna be
not Paul.
He was gonna be the father.
Oh, his son was gonna be Paul.
Yeah, his son was.
That's
gonna be
the
Paul.
Other major part.
David
that
Carradine
I didn't
was gonna
know.
Be the father.
The father. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. And it ended up being that other actor that has the funny teeth and the crazy eyes. Fuck, what is his name? Huh? No. Prior to Steve Buscemi. He's got pockmarked face. He's like an English or Eastern European James Edward Olmos. And he's like a white James Edward Olmos. You know who I'm talking about.
in the Lynch version. Did you ever see that version that the Sci-Fi Channel did in 2000?
Yo, I saw some. Listen,
it's
this
not
how
bad.
Much I like Dune. Yeah. Like, I saw that shit.
I saw it too.
I dig the worms.
Bill
I dig
Hurt.
The spice.
Bill Hurt's the dad in that one. It's William
he
Hurt.
Is
yeah.
Bill Hurt.
It's not Altered States with Bill Hurt. That would have been good if he took the
Wait,
ayahuasca.
So let's go back for a second. When was this new Dune? And
in
what?
In the 90s. It was a miniseries.
2000,
or a series.
Uh-huh.
I want to say they had two seasons. But
they did they did Children of Dune after they did Dune with some of the same actors. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go
and
watch
it. It was Sci-Fi Channel production. And it's just kind of decent CGI, but clearly not the vision, and the way that CGI is not as good as a guy in a rubber mask, mm-hmm. Is. It's that kind of thing. So Lynch's Dune is definitely a more artistic. It's another remove level,
yep.
Right? It's a more. It goes back to Frank Herbert a little bit more. It's Frank Herbert's Dune, but it's still just it's not very well acted, and
it was
not too much standing out in that one.
No,
nope,
no, it was not good. I mean, when I was a kid, it was amazing, but
this 2001, I don't think you would like.
Oh, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
It's pretty basic.
It's okay.
It's a basic Dune.
It's a basic Dune.
It's a pumpkin spice Dune.
It's a sci-fi 90s sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starbucks Dune.
So you have his son, you have David Carradine, Orson Welles, Mick Jagger, Salvador Dali.
Yes. And his old lady.
And his old lady.
Or his partner.
Yeah, yeah.
His muse. His fuck muse. That shit. His muse.
Is she in Holy Mountain also?
No, she's not in Holy
Mountain. She's after that, yeah.
She's Dali's muse. So she
Dali's
was just going to be a princess
or princess,
something.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that what Virginia Madsen ends up being?
Yes.
The narrator?
She was supposed to be the witch princess.
I gotta say, Virginia
wife.
Madsen
she was supposed
held
to be the
up
wife.
Very well.
The queen.
Yeah.
The queen?
Oh, the Bene Gesserit, Paul's mom. Yeah.
Yes.
Paul's mother,
And then to top it off, the soundtrack by
Pink Floyd.
Which
and that other band that was just man.
Oh, yeah, the French band.
No, that was German.
Oh,
they
German.
They were
not Magma.
Is it not, Magma?
Is it Magma?
Yeah, it might have been Magma.
That's right.
I could see. It's been a little bit since
I've
seen it.
What do you call it? Militaristic and just. It's what Geiger listened to draw aliens.
I feel like Magma would probably be that, yeah.
So it just makes it seem like already they were making something that's
Pink
so unbelievable.
Floyd in a space movie.
Yeah, I mean,
perfect.
That's.
You understand that?
That
with
is
pink
perfect.
Spaceships.
And
the color palette is totally different.
I mean,
too. Palette is outrageously
it's
bright.
It's the real thing, man. It ain't toned down for motherfucking audiences and test groups and shit who didn't think yellow fucking spacesuits were authentic like they ever fucking been to space. This is why you can't let your movie go in front of a test audience.
It seems like it was in a way Lynch was set up to fail also. There was no way he could make a thing that was going
to
satisfy
audiences. All he had to do was make a return investment on the time they spent motherfucking talking about it.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Right.
All the people they brought in to look over it and say, hey, can we write this and shit? They had to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
So somebody need to make this shit because we need to get a return investment.
Yeah.
Right.
It seems like he just kept being around all the best people that he could have on that
and
movie.
We got to make it so we can use every damn fucking thing else in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say it didn't get made. It got made, right?
Yeah.
So let's use all the shit that we didn't put in there.
Go back to his son, Brontës. It's the fact that he was training him to basically be Paul Atreides.
He was training him to be a Navy SEAL / Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. That was news to me. I didn't know anything about that.
I thought that was cool, though. Thought man, if you're gonna do this, you're gonna really do this, and you're gonna learn something about growing up and being a man too. I think it was really dope how everything in his life went together. It was nah, man, this is all together. My family is a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of my work, is part of my art. This is it's all inclusive. There ain't no separation of church and state in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what we gonna do, and if you're gonna do this are you going to do this just as much? He's like, I would have cut my arm off. And I believe him. Uh-huh. I believe. I'm not cutting my arm off for shit.
No.
But
he loves people missing limbs. That's what we know about Jodorowsky.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
He does.
There's a lot of limb cutting off.
So you'd seen El Topo. You'd seen El Topo.
I've seen El Topo. I haven't seen the other ones.
I've seen Holy Mountain. I've seen that. I have not seen Fondo Elise all the way through. I've seen Cliff from Fondo Elise.
And Santa Sangre you've not seen, or you've seen that one?
I've not seen Santa Sangre. I've seen Holy Mountain. I watched that. Mm-hmm. Holy Mountain's one of my favorites.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much of it I'd seen just like at parties or something
right.
until
just
I actually watched
it. Yeah.
Because it's visually still.
Yeah.
It holds up so well. There's a bar. Have you been to the bar on Mission that has like a, it's called Holy Mountain, and there's like kind of like a Holy Mountain visual aesthetic theme.
Nah, man, I gotta go check.
Just look up the Holy Mountain bar. Yeah,
do they
for
have
sure.
like a stack of Jesus?
We should go over there right after.
It's like
this.
The Geiger bar.
Yeah,
is there a Geiger bar?
Not in this city, but I think in Berlin.
In Berlin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's definitely one.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure. Yeah. It's a Body World.
There's a Geiger, city
thing, yeah.
in there. It's called Berlin. It's called Berlin. They're all dark and alien.
Have you seen that documentary, Michael?
Oh, his documentary.
Yeah, the Geiger.
I watched it. And it was just like, somebody was running around with a camera right after they did Jodorowsky's documentary.
Yeah.
It was like, no, we're going to get you too. Get you too. Don't worry,
you're
a genius too.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
I don't want to.
Looks like he just wants to sit, draw each schnitzel, and smoke opium in a very dark place.
Yeah.
And it looked like the people around him was just like, yeah, son.
Yeah, keep doing this. Yeah.
And his hands are like all gnarled up and shit. And I was just like,
yeah. He had that crazy ass house. Maybe not Mickey Rooney, but like. He had
that. Looked like a German Mickey Rooney. They should have an eyebrow competition.
Do you think he could have made this film in 1975? Like with everything.
How much money?
Well, for everything that he was trying to do.
He could have made it. The thing is, he could have made it.
In
the
studio system, though? Yeah, not in the
studio
system.
I don't know if him not being allowed to make this film has anything with them using the rest of like his shit, them seeing it and being like, no, or him just not making it and be like, ah.
Yeah. Well,
he could have made it.
They're going to make it in Algeria, right?
They're going to make it in Algeria?
Weren't they going to shoot in Algeria? Because he was making everyone move to France. Was he making? Now,
yeah, he was making everybody had to move to France, and I thought that was dope too.
Yeah,
like I gotta move to France to be in the movie. Cool, man. I don't want to shoot this movie down the street from
Peter
my house.
Peter Jackson made everyone move to New Zealand.
That's
right?
True.
So, yeah.
For Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But those movies got made.
Yeah.
But like, if you move me somewhere and we don't make the movie, I'm staying wherever the fuck we at until I make a movie.
Yeah.
I can't come back home. What you doing in France? Waiting.
Yeah.
To make something. Mm-hmm. Can we see it?
So did Mobius do the storyboards? Is that, did he did all of them or some of them?
That's yes.
Mobius.
No, I thought he did all of them.
Yeah,
he did all of them.
Yeah.
Man, he said Mobius was his camera.
Yeah.
I think that's dope too.
That is dope. After seeing that comic book, right?
It was Blueberry joint. Just the way he draws was such like Hitchcockian fucking
the angles.
Yeah.
Like, view and
long
shit.
Shots and
his
like,
long shots were a beast. Like he has one like that shoots like down across a canyon to the little. You see the horse's footprints lead out to him on the horse.
Those
and
are
shit.
Sweet.
Yeah. I was like, yo, he just draw those. I was like, I draw like flat stick figure surfaces next to a house or some shit. They had a brain to draw on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, all right, man. Some people see shit you don't see, and like he just. Jodorowsky had a really dope habit of bringing together geniuses in other fields. He was a magnet of sorts.
He was like a community organizer.
But like of people, like he's no bullshit. He was like, yo, this is what he said. He's like, yo, like when he went to see the guy in Hollywood, that was the Trumbo.
Yeah, Trumbo.
That was like the
Douglas Trumbo.
Yeah, for 20, he was like the
2001.
Designer. 2001. So he was, you know, he said big shit. He's like, I can't work with dude.
Yeah.
He left. He got up and left for a meeting in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is?
Yeah. He was like, he's too arrogant or whatever.
He has his phone. He's too self-important. He's like, I need spiritual warriors. People that vibrate at the same frequency. People that I can be like, no, you should have seen Jodorowsky's Dune already. If not, sit down and see it. Because when I tell you like, here's a camera. I need the bull's horns. I don't need you asking me what the fuck that means. I need you to know I need a left shot and a right shot of the same thing. Therefore, when we're editing, I can say, no, I don't like that one. Give me the other one. And we can keep going.
Yeah.
This is reminding me. Did you happen to see the Kubrick exhibit at LACMA when they had all, like, the sets and stuff?
No.
That was pretty amazing. I went to that. There's a 2001 room in there. And they kind of explain some of, like, the how they did some of those shots, like, with the different projected backgrounds.
Whoa.
Like, those early scenes with the monolith, with the monkeys and stuff.
Yeah.
They kind of had that laid out there. They had a miniature of the fucking, the final scene, the room. And they had, like, they had all this other stuff. They had, like, other art that kind of went with some of the stuff. Like, they had this, like, sculpture that kind of looked like the monolith, like, next to the monolith.
Wow.
Well, they didn't have the monolith in there, but they
and
had
this kind is of... This is at LACMA.
Yeah, this is, like, 3 years ago. 2012, I think, is when I... Or 13.
I need footage of that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's, like, also, you kind of have a similar thing where, like, they had, like, sketches that he'd made for AI... That ended up being what Spielberg based, like, storyboards for AI.
Right.
And that's what Spielberg made AI off of, which is maybe a parallel thing, which is like, maybe leave some things alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like thinking with
you
AI.
You can leave some
example.
Things alone. Some things don't need to be revisited, redone, and, like, you know, not even remastered. Leave it the fuck alone. Yeah.
Well, some of these guys are just really good at taking ideas and running with them, you know, like the Lucases and Spielbergs of the world, you know?
Marketing the idea that someone else came up with, right.
I dig it, man, but, like, yo, leave shit alone.
AI is proof of that.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah. No.
You don't have to. You know why? Because there's other shit out there that you can fuck with and make great. That ain't dear. To somebody already.
Well, there's shit that Kubrick left alone. Like, Kubrick was working on a movie about, like, the Nazis, and it was just too fucking dark, and he was just too dark for Kubrick.
That's
he
amazing.
Had to just you understand be like, that?
I'm gonna give up
you understand
on this.
That?
That's amazing.
Too dark for Stanley and the Jungles Forever, Kubrick.
Now, this is a side thing, but this is also reminding me. You must have seen Room 237.
Which is Room 237?
About the theories about The Shining? Did you see
that? Oh, yes. I've seen some of that. I fell asleep on that because I was really high. It was a hash joint.
This is like your way to, like, communicate with your friends. You can have a shorthand if you can talk to someone who's seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
that's kind of what
that
you
all
like
all
about
through.
This.
Yep.
Yeah, this doc was pretty incredible. I love
that. It's the most inspiring piece of, like, little footage I've seen in the last couple of years. I honestly, when I saw it the first time, I was just like, I wore the shirt. Like, I had that shirt. I gave it to my little brother. I would have wore it today, but I gave it to my little brother when I met him, and he better keep it or I'm gonna punch him in his fucking face.
Well, hopefully he'll listen to this podcast and he'll know
he
that.
Will. I'll tell him to.
I love the Dan O'Brien story about meeting Jodorowsky about and them smoking some weed together. Like, that bit in the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
When he gave him what sounds like DMT.
Yeah.
He gave him what sounds like.
He's like, this is very
DMT
special.
DMT-based weed.
Yeah.
Really special marijuana.
This is very special marijuana. And he was like, all of a sudden, I saw his face start pulsating and colors coming out. And
yeah,
like,
man.
I was like, damn.
Tell me that ain't wet. Tell me that ain't been sprayed and dipped with something.
And then he was like, that's when I knew I wanted to work with this guy. I was like, this is
amazing. Yeah, if I get high on my first day with my boss, I'm going to stick around my job too. I'm going to be like, No.
That is funny.
I think El Topo also showed that he could make a desert movie. Like, that's a desert movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like what the guy said. Like, it's, you know, the original midnight movie, which is true. Like, I think that's even where I saw El Topo was like one of those midnight showings. You know, I don't know. I've never seen the Holy Mountain, but now I'm kind of intrigued.
You got it today. Isn't that of a thing
today
that you got to communicate with someone about?
Today.
Okay, if you're gonna talk to someone who's never seen Holy Mountain or never seen Jodorowsky's Dune. Which is more important to you as a communication?
Right now,
level.
Jodorowsky's doomed, but Holy Mountain is still like, yo, you need to go see Holy Mountain.
Yeah.
Just to, like, the...
So a lot of that shit's about tarot, right?
Yeah.
Are you into that stuff?
I'm not really into nothing, but I'm knowledgeable about a lot of things.
What
I
shit's about tarot?
A lot of, like, the imagery from
Holy
Mountain.
It's just about
tarot,
taboo religion. Yeah. It's about, like...
It's not. What is it about? I can't even say what it's just basically. It is an occult movie. It's like kind of like a shamanistic.
Yes, it's a shamanistic. It's an awakening movie. Yeah. It's about awakening and seeing it for what it really is.
Oh, man, the ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like isn't all his movies like
for what it really is? It's just
well, the ending really is more.
It's basically meta. From the heart of, say, the heart of religion and the heart of belief and all of that. To that very microscopic view of intense fervor and belief, to our way out, to pulling out and seeing it for what it really is.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
that's what that movie does. It's just like a shot from a space shot, but mm-hmm. in movie format. Of,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
pulling
see, look
back.
At those, stay over there praying and stuff, right?
Like the end of Men in Black.
Yeah.
You know yeah. It's Men in Black.
What if you just pull out of Jodorowsky's Dune, it's just the last scene from Men in Black. It's like the alien Like, I have it in the universe.
I dig what he's saying.
Jodorowsky's Men in Black.
Jodorowsky would have made a great Men in Black.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Having looked at some of the storyboards and being aware of what he was trying to accomplish, I honestly don't know how he could have done it in 75. His vision was so huge, so beyond what anybody else was doing at that time. You look back at what George Lucas struggled to accomplish in 77 with Star Wars, and here's Jodorowsky a couple years before that going with things that Lucas wasn't even going to try in the prequel films. I mean, it's enormous.
What I liked in the documentary though is when they were showing all the different movies that had taken his
ideas
from mm-hmm. from his book. Like, it was pretty incredible. Like, lots of them were shitty 80s sci-fi stuff, like right. Masters of the Universe.
Yeah,
and movies
just
like
the
that.
But like all the shitty stuff used all the costuming.
Right,
that's
yeah.
how you know it was right. just like.
Well, the, oh, okay. their scripts were bad, okay. but all the cool stuff they stole. You know, and I'm now is wondering, did he ever work with John Carpenter? Because they show
John Carpenter started in porn.
They showed Dark Star in the doc, and then it was like they you know because that's a John Carpenter movie. And I was just like, I don't know if they ever. I feel like they never mentioned if he'd ever worked with him or not.
I mean, Carpenter is a very. Is there a documentary out there about Carpenter yet? Because I mean,
his
music career has kind of like taken off, and he's performing live. I thought like Colin Mann's gonna go see John Carpenter perform at like an Altamara's parties in like Iceland or something.
Whoa!
He's gonna do the synthesizer stuff. A record just came out of that stuff actually. But yeah, I don't know if there is a direct connection, but I'm pretty. I mean, Carpenter seems like a dude who's a student of all this stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so. I didn't know John Carpenter was a musician.
Well, he did the soundtracks for a lot of the scores for his movies. It's him.
He sounds a preeminent of Robert Rodriguez. He sounds like Robert Rodriguez was like, I can do that too.
I like the score of this doc because it had that kind of weird organ kind of 70s soundtrack sound
yeah,
to
was
it.
Just like, what music didn't y'all use? We'll just use that.
That's one nice thing when we talked to Bill about Room 237 because he kind of did this like a version of like a Goblin soundtrack for to kind of like match that era. I can't find out who Black Luke Skywalker was supposed to be. Robert Boulter?
No.
Rumors point to Robert
Boulter.
Fucking
the guy from Brother from Another Space. It's not
Joe Morton.
Joe Morton.
Wait, he would have been so young then. Joe Morton was going to be. I've never heard that. Joe Morton was going to be.
Several occasions. I thought it was Glenn Thurman, but it's Joe Morton.
Joe Morton, he did Brother from Another Planet,
right?
With John Sayles. That's I talked to Kasim about it. I'm like, have you ever seen Brother from Another Planet? He's like, nah, I heard about it. I'm like, you gotta see this movie.
I was like, yo, Kasim is so disappointed when I asked him about black movies. I was like, I'm gonna tell your father.
Joe Morton is Luke Skywalker. That's real interesting. He is in Terminator 2, though.
Oh, yeah.
He is the guy who invented Skynet.
Yes, yeah. He is. He's the reason Skynet brought the whole thing down. Mm-hmm.
So, I've never heard that before.
Huh. So Kasim doesn't watch black movies?
I don't know.
He, that's like an art house black movie, I guess.
I don't know, but you got certain movies you got to have watched. Just certain movies you got to have watched.
Would you say Brother from Another Planet is one of those?
It's right up there.
Pretty classic.
What about right Pootie Tang?
I mean, Pootie Tang is like a classic for a comic. Like, I wouldn't give everybody. Because, like, you know, at one point in time, black people might not have been fucking with Chris Rock heavy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Meteor Man is a fucking classic.
Oh, yeah.
Meteor Man was like the first black real superhero of the community.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Meteor Man is like Robert Townsend, and he brought together everybody. Bill Cosby.
Who's Blank Man?
Damon.
That's Wayne. Damon, yeah.
That's a classic,
He's
too.
He's got the plunger. Like, I've never seen that. Leonard
but
Part
Media
Six.
Man is like, okay, so Leonard Part Six was cool, but I just thought it was weird.
No, it wasn't.
It
cool.
was cool.
It wasn't
I was just
cool.
like, all right, so
Leonard
okay,
Part Six
I really,
is
I was
not
like, is
cool.
this a, is this like, is he gonna
butter.
Have more?
I need butter
with the lobster.
Yeah,
he was
terrible.
Just being weird.
Oh yeah, that's God. A very weird. I remember my mom taking me to that movie. And
that's how you know it was
something was up with Bill.
Sex.
Ghost Dad is already has enough weird things. All right, let's get back to. what we're talking about.
That's what happens when you do Jodorowsky. Yeah. You just start sparing.
And Ghost Dad was inspired by this scene from Jodorowsky's dude. Oh, yeah, his father does kind of... No, his father doesn't talk to him. Now, the sandworms, is that the same design? It's a different version of sandworms?
I think they were still big and huge and all that good stuff, but I don't think they were... I don't know. I don't think they rode... Did they ride them?
No. They do in the book. They ride them.
Oh, okay. But they ride them in the book. I don't know if he had them riding them in his.
He may not
film.
Have drawn.
I don't
out
think
yet.
So.
I didn't see. I didn't see any of that. They were a little bit flatter from the look.
Uh-huh.
They were all big and round. They eventually became Tremors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
They eventually became Tremors.
Well, Tremors came out in like 87 or something.
Yeah. No. We're gonna bring those worms back.
What's your favorite sci-fi movie, Michael?
My favorite sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Favorites is hard for me because I have like digested so much that it's just like if I start naming one, then I'm like, no. But I like this one too.
Yeah.
This one holds special. So like they all like, that's just my favorite genre of things to watch.
Sci-fi is?
Sci-fi.
Yeah. Did you, when you worked in Kink, there was that sci-fi room in Kink. There's the space room.
That was the fucking machines room.
Yeah.
But it was designed after Galactica, the battleship, one of the battleships.
Oh, really?
The Galactica.
Yeah. So you shot stuff in there?
Built stuff for scenes to be shot in there. Uh-huh. But that was... But room belonged to a site, specific site called Fucking Machines. Uh-huh. That's where they kept all the various machines.
I've been in that room.
All the machines for fucking.
Did you see the Johnny saw, number five?
Is it, I saw the thing five? That's basically a chainsaw with tongues on it.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. You've been in that room.
That disturbs
me. That's
weird because that was my nickname in high school.
Chainsaw tongue?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah, fucking killer. Oh.
So you worked at kink.com. You don't anymore? Or?
No, mm-hmm. I do not. It was a wonderful experience, though.
Did you shoot or what?
No, I was in several as a non-performing actor, but like I was a set designer. I ended up there. I started as an assisted set dresser.
Uh-huh.
And basically because, you know, Jesus Head is amazing. And some young lady was, you know, caught up in his amazingness. And I ended up getting a job. Cronyism.
That's.
I did not know about that.
And I got the job because, you know, she couldn't do the job more physically and come to find out artistically as well. So I end up like doing 80 to 90% of the work. And
that's
Okay, so there, Kink has 20 different sites.
Yeah.
10 directors, 22 now, I think. 10 directors directing around two sites a piece. Mm-hmm. And so that basically is like, you know, I'm five productions a day, 5 days a week. So I'm setting and striking five sets from when I get there, like 7:30, 8 o'clock to like 6. Mm-hmm. And you burn out quick. If you don't know what you're doing.
How are craft services on a porn site?
Oh, that's all. If it's on a bullshit porn site, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. At kink.com, we had a chef.
Chepanese, yeah.
What? We had a chef. Okay, so the first day of work, first or second day of work, I think I went upstairs to the fourth floor, which is a Edwardian themed floor where they do the upper floor parties, which is, you know,
classy.
Very classy.
Very well, the 1%.
Well to do BDSM motherfuckers in there. Yeah. Your mayor get his ass spanked up there.
Some eyes wide shut. Some,
yeah. Oh, I'm so past eyes wide shut. There's nothing you can tell me to surprise me about. But up there,
well, the chainsaw is the dining tons. Room,
and they have a chef there. I think it's Tuesday through Friday now. And, well, it started being Monday. He switched one day off. He has one day off. Mm. I think he does prep that day. But the first day I got up there, they had seared ahi tuna steaks as big as my foot.
What?
I wear size 12.
So that's a big ahi tuna.
Big ass fucking ahi tuna steaks and like pluots in the salad. And I was just like, these motherfuckers don't even know what pluots is. They think they're plums. I know what this is. I'm not leaving this job.
The commissary kink is better than Google's.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, most definitely.
They probably make more money. Holy shit.
But you got to understand something. That's okay, so there's 22 sites. I think the lowest grossing site grossed maybe $250,000 a month.
I'm in the wrong business.
You understand? That's
let's do a comedy show at Kink.
Yeah. Hey, I did. My reckless ambition led me to just to be all up in the king face. Uh-huh. Not knowing there was a vizier standing over there with a snake staff like, yo, I am going to motherfucking kill him.
Yeah.
And destroy his
Did genie. He fart and you didn't?
The ring with the, the stabbing ring.
Jafar.
You did a comedy show at Kink?
Yes, I did comedy and jazz review.
Oh.
And I got one off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was fun. I had fun. I think the format needed a little bit of tweaking. But I was dealing with a lot more personalities than just comedians.
Oh,
so
I bet.
It was like, you know.
Yeah. But you couldn't like walk in and be like, I have a sketch for a
paper
mache design I want
to
do.
Yeah. I actually sold them a site. I sold them because I wanted to do a comedy porn site, Kink Comedy.
Uh-huh.
And nobody was listening to me and like in the marketing department because I'm that guy. I'm wandering around. Yeah, I finished my work already. Yeah. Now I'm over here in the marketing and the ID department.
Yeah.
Causing trouble.
It's one of the 82 precepts.
Yo. Always be causing trouble. You know what I'm saying? How else are you going to get anywhere? And I just, you know, was like, yo, man, we should do this. And they was like, yeah. I was like, we should buy this site, man. Yeah. So I bought it one morning.
Oh,
by lunch, they were coming to me like, hey, yeah, so you want to sell it?
Wow.
Like, is this your invoice? So I still had the invoice. I've never been paid for. I ain't really flipped out. There was a time like when I left there, I was like, yo, I could get them for all they fucking worth. They ain't pay me anymore.
I kind of want to know what the site is.
You just domain squat your employer.
It was like Kink Comedy, and it was basically I had a couple of ideas with a couple of PAs for just like funny, kinky ass shit, you know? like crazy ass little sketches that were like too explicit for like most shit.
Yeah.
I had like one, it was called One Nut Stand. And it was about a guy who busts just one sperm, but it's huge. And he busts on his chick and it knocked out because it hit in the head.
This is Jodorowsky doing porn. That's what you're coming up with. A sandworm came out.
And the way, like, it would have been dope though, because the way we would have shot it with like a tennis ball wrapped in like this latex and got it to come. It would have been dope. It would have been really dope. And I still want to do it.
It's time.
I need people. I need spiritual warriors to shoot stupid ass shit like that with me.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's your vision?
Yeah, that's my vision. Just the stupid shit that I want to shoot.
That is funny. It'd be cool to get like a Geiger-esque kind of scene, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
That's what that room's for.
Yeah.
All of that is for that. Mm-hmm. Any room is for that. Now that I know how to design porn sets, I'm like, I can turn any room into a fucking room now.
Yeah.
All the invaluable tools I learned. No, not that couch. couch.
So is he like your favorite director, do you think?
Jodorowsky? He's up there. He's up there. Like, I really like what he does. Fellini is dope. Fellini is dope. Like, I really love neorealistic films and shit. There's one film called that. I don't know who the director this is, but I really love his eye. It's called The Gran Bellissima, The Great Beauty. It's on Hulu. You should check it out. Just some of the shots they get.
Is that Italian?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. And the suits this motherfucker wears.
Yeah. You know,
when I grow up and start wearing suits like an adult,
what I'm going to year? Italy. What year is this?
It came out in like the last three or four.
So contemporary.
It's contemporary.
Oh, okay.
It's contemporary. The Gran Bellezza, the Great Beauty.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Gran Bellezza.
Yes.
Oh, that is? Okay.
That.
Director. It's coming up. Slow.
And that, and there's another film called, it's a French film called On Profit. It has some very dope scenes in it, and very, I like the director's vision. Like
Paolo Sorrentino is that guy.
And there's a, but this one called On Profit, or The Profit, it's a French film. It's about this guy who goes to jail or nobody and comes out like this boss.
Wait, not the thing that's not the Kilal Gibran, like that.
No. That's based off of
that's what about
Kilal Gibran, which is a really dope.
Who are the brothers that did like City of Lost Children?
Are they brothers? No, it's Judge.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Are you into that?
I haven't seen it. You gotta put me on.
Oh, okay.
If I have, I don't know about. By name.
Now, I also like want to say like we all like David Lynch, right? We're not like
I like David Lynch, but you know,
yeah, it's different.
Come on,
that movie was not.
I like the original of things.
Yeah,
The original song that gets sampled.
Come on, man. John Cougar Mellencamp is great.
It's a hard knock life for us.
That's not what I expected. I thought one of the sweetest moments in the doc was when he's talking. Jodorowsky's talking about going to see the premiere of the
Sick,
and he was sick to his stomach and didn't want to go. And his sons were like, "You have to go." And
he's
then
like,
he was,
"We're warriors."
Yeah, yeah. And then he was super excited because it sucked.
And he's the most honest.
It's honest.
It's honest.
I can relate to
that. He give a fuck about how he's like, I don't want to see this shit because if he
He said he sat there and
somebody
as it went
raping
on,
your baby.
Yeah.
That's like that is like seeing somebody. Have you ever seen somebody do your joke on stage?
No.
You don't ever want to see nobody do your
premise?
Joke on
stage. Oh wait, I have
fuck
once.
Still a premise. I'm talking about do a joke that gave you a tag on.
Oh, yeah. Actually, at the roast.
Yeah.
That girl who went up before me, like, I gave her two jokes, kind of. I were like, we talked about it, and then she just ended up using them. I'm like, well, I got to cross these off the list.
Mm. That was beautiful. Because
it was okay. I mean, like, whatever. She didn't have anything of her own, so I had to give her.
Because he was talking about watching each scene, and he said, I got happier and happier. And I thought he was going to say, because it was so good. And he's like, because it was a failure.
He's
like, I was so happy.
His thing can only be pure because it has never made. And that's also true. Like, that's a lot of, like, I got great ideas that are pure because they never were achieved or executed.
Have you ever seen the book?
But how many people took those ideas and made something that
lots of money.
Made lots
billions
of commercial money, though.
I am trying to think. Like, no one's ever taken an idea from me, but people have like done things that.
Dude, I've had.
I came up with the crunch wrap to Taco Bell.
Oh wait, damn it. I came up with the idea for the Treasure Island Music Festival. Also, I guess that's
the crunch wrap and the Taco and the music festival. God damn, we should be sitting on a shitload of money.
Yeah,
right now.
Exactly.
No, when you're a teenager, you're just trying to eat.
Cosmo.com was a great idea. It was just too early.
Yeah. So, Michael, the way we end this show is we ask guests to recommend a doc.
Whore's Glory. You should check out A Whore's Glory.
I'd like to.
Because it's very interesting. You know, they take a look at whores on three different continents.
Whoa.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
To get a different perspective.
So like sex workers in different
countries. Yeah, I think Bangladesh, Mexico, and another place, which is very good, like very interesting look. And then I think probably Japan. That's a lot of whores in Japan.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but the industry there is very different.
It goes back a long time, too.
Yes.
And,
Well, yeah.
Sex.
Yeah.
Sex does sell.
Yep.
Yeah.
We should end it there.
All right.
I think we should end on Sex Does Sell. So thank you very much, Michael,
for
coming.
This
was wonderful.
Michael DeBay. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please review, subscribe, and rate.
And you can follow us on Twitter at SupDocPodcast and online at SupDocPodcast.com.
This show is produced by Will Scovel, and our theme music is by David Siegel.
If you want to suggest a documentary or a future guest, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.